Hello, everybody, and welcome to the We Don't Know Either podcast, episode number 298. I'm Michael.
I'm Nick.
I'm Lindsay. I'm back.
Lindsay is back. Sorry. I was so used to doing it after last week.
After 1 week, you're like, after this is my week. Moment.
Well, I'm just impressed that this time, in his second attempt at it, he got it done on the first try.
That's right.
It didn't take seven attempts like it did last week.
I'm out of a job, I guess.
I may pass it back to you next week. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I did. I'm sorry that I missed last week. I was not, in fact, worn out. I just lost my voice. Which
Who said worn out?
I wouldn't use that. You guys didn't use those exact phrasing, but Nick, I think, said we broke Lindsay. And I wasn't broken.
That was definitely me.
Okay. I don't remember. I did listen.
Wait a minute. Wait. You weren't worn out and you weren't broken. Your voice just kept cracking because it was worn out.
And broken.
Is that your argument?
Yes. I mentally was all there, but the voice was gone. And I know very little about podcasting, but I do know you need a voice.
Yes.
That is step one.
So I recused myself from the podcast last week. But you guys did great. I got a lot of positive feedback about your little game show. I enjoyed listening. I would have known Buchanan and a lot of the ones that you got wrong. Yeah. So maybe we'll play again sometime and I'll be mad because I won't know the questions when we actually play.
More importantly, would you have known the answer to my final question that I got wrong?
About the Breakfast Club?
Wait a minute.
Yeah. No.
I didn't get it wrong, did
right.
I?
Right. No, you did not. No.
Well, from my perspective, I was like, all right, guys, you know, go have the podcast. Let me know. And then you're like, hey, Lindsay, here's a list of all of these time code edits and a correction we need to add. And it's 28 minutes long and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm going to kill you.
It turned out well, though. That's what's important.
You're great. So now we're getting back to our usual routine here where we each go through, do an interesting fact. We try to figure out the fact. We'll turn those into questions at your trivia night. And that's it.
Yeah.
Cool.
And try to be entertaining in between.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try. That's the key word. Nick, start us off.
All right.
The winner of the first We Don't Know Either
game show.
Yeah. You can kick off this great episode.
Right. And it's really, I'm a little uncomfortable in the seat right now. I'm kind of sitting on an angle because I have $1,000 in cash in my pocket that Michael had to give me because he lost. So it's kind of at a weird angle that I'm sitting here. My wallet's very
thick.
All
you
right
did
now
was deduct it from my paycheck. I thought it was rude to cash it show it to me.
Yeah.
I felt that was rude.
Yeah, it's necessary, I thought. Otherwise, well, at least you got to pay for it in pre-tax.
I can tell you that weighs 17 pounds in gold Sacagawea coins.
18 pounds, as
18
a
pounds,
fact.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, your fact.
All right, so my fact needs just a very small backstory to it.
Oh.
Okay. So my wife, Sarah, talk about all the time.
She's great.
Is involved in this program in Montgomery County called Leadership Montgomery, where basically it helps teach you about all of the different programs that happen within the county that we live in and goes through, you know, fire and police and corrections and pretty much every sort of public service that is offered by the community. And it teaches you all about how it's run and things along those lines.
It's very noble of her.
Yeah. So a couple of weeks ago, she did her ride-along with the police.
Oh, fun.
And basically, she told me, look, it's an eight-hour shift. I'm probably only going to go for 4 or 5 hours, and then I'm going to bail. 10 hours later, she came home.
Oh. Okay.
So turns out that she did a lot of stuff that doesn't usually happen in the area that police officer patrols. She had two different people that they basically arrested for drunk driving.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, it's a police ride along. It's not a whole lot of like flowers and puppies that are going on.
I wish.
But here's where it ties into my interesting fact. One of the guys that they arrested blew a 0.35 blood alcohol level.
Whoa.
And he was living?
And he was living. So she and I did a little bit of research later that night when she got home. 0.4 is coin flip, whether or not you'll live.
Right. Uh-huh.
So this guy was driving at a 0.35, and at 0.4, it's basically 50-50 as to whether or not you're going to live through that drinking session. So here is my interesting fact, or rather my question. What is the highest known blown blood alcohol level?
Wow. Okay, this is super interesting. When you started that story, had no idea where we were going to end up. I'm still not sure where we're going to end up. It's obviously higher than 0.4.
Yes.
Because if you know it's a 50-50 chance, and if this rando blew a 3.5.
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing, and as I understand how these tests work, you have to be a pretty severe alcoholic to even get above. Like, for example, I'd say everybody at this table from everybody that I know, there's no way, it doesn't matter how much we drink, we could get to a 3.5.
Right. I would say I would get to past the legal limit after 3 or 4 whiskeys.
All right.
It'd probably take me less, but like right in that ballpark. I think 3 is... It would be pushing it for me.
Well, we have episode 300, so we're going to have to
test it.
Here's the thing I do. I have one.
Oh, you do?
For my 21st birthday, I asked my parents for the same breathalyzers that our local police department used.
Okay.
Because I was really worried about that.
Sure.
So I have a high-quality breathalyzer that I will bring in for episode 300.
That's going to be amazing.
Episode 300, lock it in.
The drunk cast.
And no one will be driving, for the record.
No, we
are very strict about that, obviously, as you should be at home. But anyway, back to your question, which is, what is the highest? And this is via like a police collected data, or where is this number coming from?
The number came from, it came from an article, which I will post in the link dump. It's from September 15th, 2015. But the data for the article came from an official police report.
Wow. All right. Well, I don't understand anything about blood, alcohol.
Or content.
Or any of those things. I want to say 0.5.
Okay, so just to give you a quick, super quick, uneducated background on it. Okay, this is the percentage of your blood that is alcohol.
Yeah, I'm saying 0.5.
Okay, so the legal limit is 0.08.
Yes, I did know that.
Right, yep. So at least in this state, 0.08 is the legal limit, which is 0.8 of 1%.
Yes.
Percent.
Fractions, decimals. Yes. I'm going to say with 0.5, though, because if 0.4 is a 50-50, 0.5.
Right.
I mean, that's a 20% increase, sure. But, you know.
0.5 might be dead. Like, there's no
dead,
way.
Dead?
Like, dead, dead.
Okay.
Because isn't it that tipping point? That at which point, like.
Well, it would take time.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, you would pass out and then die.
Yeah, of course.
Right, kind of thing. So, it's not like you have that last drink and then immediately fall over.
By the 0.08 is federal.
Is that federal? Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then I think, I'm not sure, but I thought there was a couple states that might have it lower.
It might not be federal, but it's all 50 states have the 0.08.
Okay. Oh, okay. Never mind.
So, Michael, what's your guess? I'm going to stick with 0.5 other than my logic that I previously stated.
So one 200th of your blood is your guess.
Yes.
Okay.
20% increase from the 50-50 that 0.4 is.
Sure.
0.08, I thought that was 8%. I thought you moved the decimal place twice.
It is 0.08.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 0.08%. No, yes. I see
we teach Michael math.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Michael, what's your guess?
I'm going to say 4.3. I think the guy that you're talking about got close.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm
going to
say
4.3.
All right. The highest ever recorded blood alcohol content level was from a Polish man who was in a car accident.
Mm.
He survived the car accident, most of the doctors believe, because of
how drunk he was.
Right,
his body couldn't tense up and relax. Right. Exactly. And it was relaxed.
Yeah, he ragdolled around and somehow survived. His blood alcohol content level was 1.48.
Wow.
1.5% of all of the blood in his body was mixed with alcohol.
Stunned silence from Michael and I.
Yeah. So I thought that was a super interesting fact. If 0.4 is 50-50 to death, this guy blew a 1.48.
That is insanity.
I just would. Do they have any record as to what he consumed to get that level?
They do not.
The alcohol in Poland, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
No, he did end up dying after the crash. Like, he never left the hospital. He survived the crash, made it to the hospital, and then never left the hospital.
Oh. Well, it's this tragic tale.
Yeah, well, I think it's a learning tale. Don't drink enough to get 1.5% of your blood filled with alcohol.
Yeah, I'm kind of stunned. Where do we go, and how do we segue from here? Can you can you get a drunk driving ticket on a segue? You can on a bicycle.
I believe that you can.
Any
motor-powered vehicle.
Episode 200, I don't remember much about it, but I do remember my fact was Segway-related.
Does that answer my question?
I was trying.
Okay, Michael, why don't you go with your fact?
Okay. Mine in no way is connected to Nick's.
Okay.
At all. like even a little bit.
Yeah, your lack of segue noises last week was disappointing.
I'm sorry. Well, we did set up that perfect segue right at the end where his fifth question was a U.S. president question. My final question to him was a U.S. president question.
There was no noises. Oh. Go ahead, Michael. Tell us your fact. Or, well, ask us your fact because that is the whole point of this podcast.
Absolutely. So how many U.S. states require that American flags bought in the state are made in the USA?
That is a very weird fact.
Right?
How many? We feel like it should be all of them, right? Like, well, I don't want to buy a U.S. flag not made in America. And you would think that all of them would be made in America.
Right.
But that doesn't make sense or you wouldn't be asking about it. So I'm going to say one.
Okay.
There's only one out of the 50
states. One out
of
50 is like...
That require all American flags sold in their state to be made in America?
Yeah. Like, that's a very specific law that you got to talk about. I think it'd be weird if it's zero. Well, it could be zero, but...
Well, here's the thing. Lindsay's right. It is one.
Okay.
So
good.
I guess
then
the
I don't
follow
have to guess.
Up, so the follow-up is...
Which state?
Which state?
Wow. Okay. Can you say that again? I was right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back,
which
Lindsay.
State? Immediately, you'd want to think...
A patriotic state.
Yeah.
So, Vermont.
Why would Vermont?
I don't know.
Well, they got all that the maple syrup.
Right.
Patriotic states there are.
No, I mean, what's the definition of a patriotic state?
Well, that's a question we can't get into on
this
podcast, I don't think.
I'm going to say it's something weird. I'm going to say it's something all right, here's my logic. Follow me on this.
I'm on the train. Boop, boop.
I'm going to say that it is a textile-based state.
Textile-based
right.
state. That
so,
makes sense.
So the state that makes the most American flags is the one with the law that says they have to be made in America.
That
right?
would make a ton of sense.
So it's got to be more quality versus bulk.
How much do you know about the American textile industry? Because I know little to nothing.
Oh, well, this just got to be an hour-long podcast, Lindsay, so you may regret that.
Not that,
that
I'm back now. Well, actually, Michael's in the driver's seat, so.
Strap in, everybody. Yeah. Let's go for a ride.
No, I know nothing about the American textile industry. I think that most of it happens in the South, so just for the hell of it, I'm going to say Georgia.
Georgia. Okay. I'm thinking like a Midwest kind of state. I'm thinking Illinois.
Okay.
I think for no reason other than they seem nice.
Sure.
Sure.
People from Illinois are great. I know a lot of people from Illinois.
Yeah, well, they've had a couple presidents from the state.
Yeah.
They are very geographically important.
Sure. They're
things.
Right there in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, okay. They're Midwest.
I got to say, for logic stains, like Lindsay going, Illinois people are nice.
Uh-huh.
Is actually closer
than my
Georgia.
Logic.
Yeah.
So you're saying it's a state with nice people?
It's Minnesota.
Dang. I was going to, when you said state with nice people, I was going right. to assume Minnesota.
You know what? I guessed. Minnesota last week, and I was going to go Mississippi this week, but obviously I need to flip-flop that.
Yes.
Okay, so Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Are they big in the textile industry, or why do they have that law?
I'm not 100% sure why. I'm looking through it all, but it was a Minnesota law that took effect in 2008, and the law is strangely silent on enforcement.
Yeah, that's like, something that makes sense.
But it's, yeah, they have a ban on sales of foreign-made American flags.
Huh. Well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well done, Michael.
Thank you.
Cool. So in preparation for my fact, there's no real segue. Actually, there is. American flag, American service member, U.S. Air Force.
Yeah.
Bam, bam, bam.
They also have flags on their uniforms.
They do. I would assume those flags, U.S. military uniforms, I'd hope would be made in America, but who knows?
That's right. The master is back.
Woo, woo. Okay. So I would like to know which entertainer, according to his or her autobiography, was the first to hear the news of Stalin's death?
Okay.
Michael. How did that relate to the Air Force?
Because the person was serving in the Air Force. You probably know this, Nick, or do you have a guess?
I have a guess, yeah.
And it's kind of obvious when you think about it. You got to think out loud. It's an auditory podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Missed the directions from Lindsay.
Like, you got to think.
No, here's the thing. Like, what I was just trying to get through was exactly what's happening in my head right now. Silence. I got, there's no strings that I can start pulling on. I'm trying to figure out who Stalin is. I know who Stalin is.
Do you know when he died?
I don't.
Okay, so it was March 3rd, 1953.
Okay.
So 1953, what was going on? Korean War.
Thank you.
So this was an entertainer that served in the Korean War.
Sure.
In the U.S. Air Force.
Got that.
Code analyzer, specifically Morse. Have you heard of Morse code?
I have heard of Morse code.
We've talked about him on the podcast many times.
Morse or this actor?
Both.
And in relation to one another.
Okay.
Yeah.
Korean War, I'm going to say Alan Alda.
Johnny Cash?
It is Johnny Cash, yeah.
Okay.
So Johnny Cash was enlisted in the U.S. Air Force. He enlisted July 7th, 1950, and he basically coded, you know, deciphered Soviet messages via Morse code. And according to him, he was very, very, very good at it. And they always gave him the top assignments. And according to his autobiography, he was one of the first people that copied, that intercepted the news that Stalin had died.
Right.
That is disputed. So there's that's why I worded the question very specifically is according to his autobiography, and that's something I'm sure that he would want. But there hasn't been what I would consider a reputable source that confirms that he was the first one, first American to hear of Stalin's death.
That's always one of those, like, you gotta think about who hears this stuff and when. Like, the guy who intercepts the message and decodes it is technically the first one to hear it.
Yeah.
Right? Then it gets passed up the chain.
And he's the first one to hear it in English.
That's true. The first, that's the basis of the question. Who is the first American person?
So this is Johnny Cash in his autobiography talking about how good he is at his job. The Air Force taught me the things every military service imparts to its enlisted men, plus one skill that's pretty unusual. If you ever need to know what one Russian is signaling to another in Morse code, I'm your man. I had such a talent for that particular line of work and such a good left ear that in Landsberg, where the United States Air Force Security Service ran audio intercept operations worldwide, I was the ace. And that's going to be your secret phrase.
I was the ace.
All right. I can roll with that.
So I was the ace. But people that worked with him said, maybe, maybe not. But he was one of the first people, according to him, that learned of Stalin's death and transported up to his superiors and things.
I think the important lesson here is to have faith in yourself. Have confidence in your own abilities.
You believe in yourself?
Yeah, but believe in yourself. It's just like Michael with his the saltine challenge.
Yes, exactly.
Step number one, believe in yourself. Know that it is accomplished.
There was never a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is my fact. That is what I got going on. Do you guys have any bonus facts as we wrap up? We only have about a few minutes left. So bonus?
I
would like to say it into the microphone one more time so I never have to say it again.
Uh-huh.
Nick was right last week.
Yeah.
That's the last time I'll be saying that.
Until the next time I'm right.
Well, until next week, I was going to say on that podcast, on next week's episode.
Here's the thing. I was going into that question. I was so proud of that question. I did the research, and then it was just...
It fell apart.
It did.
It fell apart halfway through.
I really liked that question.
I don't have an interesting fact, but I was doing math on the way over here to the studio, and I thought that it was super interesting to me as I was doing quick math. I don't have any like relevant data to support it, but I drove past a Mercedes dealership right here next to the podcast studio.
Oh, okay.
You know the one right over?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure you've driven past a lot of times. Have you ever been inside that?
Yes.
Like the parking garage and like the, no, you've never been in there?
No. It's not something I have a lot of spare time for to look at Mercedes dealerships.
So real roughly, it is a huge dealership and they have this giant garage that stores all of their cars that they're going to be selling. And
cool.
Neat. Yeah. At any given time, they have about 3,000 cars parked in that big giant garage on the six levels or whatever it is that goes through there.
Mm-hmm.
Wild guess, because I just did some quick math. Any idea what that inventory is worth?
No idea whatsoever.
No? Michael?
Probably more than the GDP of a couple small countries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So I thumb up in the air. I was thinking it was about $200 million.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Worth of stuff that's there. I mean, it's 3,000 cars. If you say the average one is $50,000 for a Mercedes, it's probably higher than that, but just throwing that number out there.
Yeah.
That would be $100 million.
Well, I mean, the question just becomes like, is that the average among that inventory or is that average among Mercedes? Because they might have a lot of those like lower end, like the CLAs start at like 28.
Yeah, do they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I did after
looking real quickly,
the last rental car that I needed, they gave me a Mercedes.
Right.
So I drove that around for a month, and I was like, I wonder what that runs. And they apparently start at like 30,000.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. So, but anyway, being in this market, you would think that a lot of them were more higher end. So
you would think,
It could be upwards of $250 million worth of inventory in that one building. That just blows my mind. You know how much money that is?
$250 million, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's so much money. It just absolutely blows my mind. And this is obviously the weird stuff that goes through my head as I'm driving around the city.
Sure.
As I'm sure the same thing goes through your guys' heads.
Usually it's just like Aerosmith lyrics.
Or silence, as you said today.
Or silence, yeah.
So in that moment, I'm going to close this up because I think it's clear that I'm going to take this job back from you.
Right.
Even though you tried your best and you're great. I was told I needed to be nicer to you.
Yes, the people in Rockville requested that you be nicer to me.
Well, you're great.
I can understand that from past episodes, but what I would like to say is that without Lindsay in the studio, I had nothing but positive things
to
say about
true.
You. You know?
Very true.
This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.